Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 31. Today is Friday, December 28th, 2007. Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast, episode 31, No Room. The music you just heard was Does Anyone Know What Time It Is? By Chicago. Pretty appropriate song for this time of year. Well, people are scurrying around, hurrying, trying to buy those last-minute gifts, running into people. And what about New Year's Eve coming up? Well, we'll be counting down that last second, 10, 9, 8, 0, blast off, and bringing in the new year. But do we really know what time it is? In the message, No Room, Pastor Paul talks about the time. What time is it? Talks about the Lord. And when he came, it didn't seem like people knew really what time it was. It's an excellent message. It was actually recorded on Christmas Eve, December 24th, 1989. And if you'd like to make an audio comment, that number is 1-715-808-0318. I would like to hear from you. And Pastor Paul also mentions in the message about lonely Christmases. And sometimes you can be in a room full of people and be very alone. So if you've ever had that experience, why don't you give me a call and let me know. Again, that number is 1-715-808-0318. I want to hear about your loneliest Christmas. And it could be in a room full of people. Or you can send me your comments, questions, and suggestions to Janine@PastorPaul.org. Or make a comment on the blog. And that is www.PastorPaul.blogspot.com. You can also join our community at www.pastorpaul.org or do a Google search for Pastor Paul's mission. You can also make a tax-deductible donation, and you'll find our address on the homepage. You can also download Pastor Paul's podcast at the blog, and be sure to listen to archived episodes of the Tongues of Fire Pastor Paul's podcast. And you can also subscribe to the podcast at the blog. So without further ado, here's Pastor Paul's message, No Room. And until next Friday, which will be a brand new year, have a great week and God bless you and be safe.
Today's message is entitled, No Room. Today, let's look in on Luke 2 and 7. And they laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. That's interesting. Them. And anyone in these end times that are following Jesus Christ will be called them. Anyway, for 4,000 years, the Jews had been looking for this child. And think of it, folks, way back in Eden, before Adam and Eve were driven out, God had promised, "The seed of woman shall bruise the serpent's head." That was Satan's one big headache. The coming back of the Lord Jesus Christ to buy back those that were lost. And we're looking for that time right now. The last coming. The Jews are waiting for the first coming. But anyway, the prophets had prophesied of his coming, and the nation had been in a sort of a attitude of expectation. Are you today, and I'm talking to you here, you that'll get this tape, are you in an attitude of expectation for the very last coming of Jesus Christ, the last coming? We're looking at Bible prophecy being fulfilled by the second. Now, you watch TV and see what's... That's kind of scary when you see all these people getting their freedom. Promising them freedom, they become slaves, it says in the Bible. And so I think the world is in a state of expectation. And I think that the Antichrist is certainly about to come on the scene, and he's going to show up real soon now. And I looked at this and I thought, could it be Gorbachev? Could he be the one that ushers in a brand new era, promising them freedom and say, yes, go on out and go for your rights? And I thought, what a move to get everybody in the same mood, all in Europe there, for the coming of the Antichrist, whoever that may be. Man of the decade, they called him. Time magazine. Couldn't say man of the year, so they had to say man of the decade. But anyway, at that time, the prophets then were studying, at that very time, the prophecies to find out when he would appear. We're in that era right now, aren't we? We're studying the scriptures. But anyway, the very first thing we hear when he comes into his country is, there was no room for him in the inn at Bethlehem. Now, he could have came in a grand style, with angels and the glory of the Father and the glory of himself. Now, they could have understood that, see, because we usually go for the flesh-pleasing things, don't we? Look at the things we've had in the last 20 years. People, and we have been looking forward not so much to his coming as seminars about him, and different version Bibles about him, artwork about him, trips to the tomb, kumbaya, melancholy space cadets singing away and swaying in mass while people starve. And it seems to me there's a whole lot of acting, but no action. Spiritual verbiage. Playing the part, but not taking part. I mean, the very idea of taking a lowly part in lowly places does not excite the professing Christians of today. I mean, we can get so involved in our own little lives, it's hard to comprehend any schedule changes. But that's exactly what God is calling us to do right now, is change your schedule just a little bit. And I thought at this last giveaway, when it was like a 70 below wind chill out there, boy, wouldn't it be nice to have a scheduled change and go on down to Florida or go someplace. Of course, now Florida's freezing. But I did entertain the thought, it'd be nice if we didn't have to go through this whole thing. Get all those thousands and thousands of bags ready, and you got to be honest, I have to tell you the truth here. And I just forced myself to open up that first of the 5,000 and crack it open. And I started a half a day early because, see, I wasn't into it. But the more I opened up the bags, whap, started putting them down, whap, and putting them down, whap, and putting them down, the more I thought to myself, hey, you've been called to this. What a beautiful thing is God is going to fill all of these bags up. See, you got to physically get into it, because a lot of times you don't want to. How many know what I'm talking about? You just don't want to. I mean, when he comes again, folks, when he comes again, he'll take over all the inns all over. But anyway, 2,000 years ago, the idea of him coming in such a lowly way, the idea of him coming in such humility, The natural man did not like it. He looked too much like a loser. How many know what that is, to look like a loser? I think everybody knows that one. God knows I do. But anyway, just think for a moment, folks, what he really came for. This is great. Bible says he came to give you rest. Rest to the weary. I remember 17 years ago being in business and having a certain amount of things in my life. And yet I was weary. I needed a rest. And then it says he came to seek and to save that which is lost. To give sight to the blind, physical and spiritually speaking now. To help those that needed help. To reveal the Father. To bring peace where there was trouble. To heal the brokenhearted. And I'm seeing a lot of those folks down here. Totally distraught, brokenhearted. And yet, when he came to the inn, they said, "Sorry, there's no rooms available. It's party time in the inn. We're having a big Bible seminar in town, and we're full up." "Use the barn, all right? Go on out there, out back. Yeah, go way back there, you know? Show them where it is. Take the dishwasher out there. Show them way back there." Now, I venture to say, when the king and queen come from England, believe me, there's room for them in the inn, isn't there? Yeah. How about someone in the sports world, which is getting downright ridiculous? I mean, you can't. They got baseball players who get a couple $1 million a year. Six on and six off, and that's pretty good wages. But we would make room for them in the inn, wouldn't we? "Oh, yeah. So-and-so is in town." "Oh, really?" And we'd get right on down there. Or the movie industry. We'd make room for them, folks. I mean, even Elvis is dead. They won't let him die. "Oh, we've seen him here and we see him there. Can you get a room ready for him?" And they'd open up a room for him. I mean, the king is coming. Elvis, he's here. Or Michael Jackson, find a place for him. And yet, when the Prince of Heaven came down into the world, what kind of a welcome did he receive? They laid him in a manger, the Bible says, because there was no room for him in the inn. Well, someone says, they didn't know him. If they would have known him and who he was, they would have given him the executive suite, don't you know? No, you're wrong. Because we read that when the wise men arrived from the east in Jerusalem and said to the king, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? Not only Herod, but all of Jerusalem was thrown into deep, dark trouble." They were troubled, and they knew who he was. Herod, the old snake, he says, "Say, wise men, that's great. Go on down to Bethlehem and inquire diligently about the child. And bring him to me that I may go down, bring word of him that I may go down and worship him." Well, of course, he was a lying hypocrite. He wanted to slay the child. And then again, not only in Jerusalem, they're not the only ones that closed their doors against him. But it says in the Bible, when he went back to Nazareth, where he grew up and he brought the glorious gospel message, the very best that the world has ever had, they took him to the edge of the hill and wanted to cast him over. They did not want him. There was no room. Oh, yeah. I hear someone say on the radio or tape there, oh, we're wiser now. Things would be different now. Well, if he came now, we would know. He would be welcome. Certainly he would. Come on now, I'm just being serious here. Would you really want him to come back? You're going to be opening gifts tonight and everything? Can you wait a little while? A couple of more years? Would you really want? You tell me today, folks, you listening, who would really want Jesus Christ to come back right now? Do you think the politicians would? How about the Republican Party? Well, how about the Democrats? Well, what would they do with him? I mean, with all the wrongiousness. I realize that isn't a word, but it sounds good. Wrongiousness is going on. No, I think they would have to take off faster than all of those European politicians. Friends, without deals, there are no politicians. Think about that. They'd have to stop dealing, and if they didn't deal, they wouldn't be a politician. All right? I mean, after all, they're all lawyers. Now, how about high society? They planned a great big fundraising get-together. Bob Hope is going to be there. Thanks for the memory, huh? Think about it. And maybe Michael Jackson will be there, huh? How would they do that? Think about it. Would they really want him back? Now, they won't want you either if you're going to be his disciple. You go to one of them parties and you want to be, I'm not talking about being a religious dip. I mean, just go in there and profess Jesus Christ. How long do you think you'd last at one of those fundraising, high society parties? If you got up, you got on a microphone, you said, Jesus Christ is Lord. Let's all sing a few hymns here. Oh. Come on now. And if there were Christians there, they would be embarrassed. Hey, there's a time and place for everything. Yeah, I know, but Jesus is coming down here. Oh, sure. We've heard that for 2,000 years now. You think about it right now, huh? You know, when you think about things, they don't judge each other so hard, do we? Are you ready? It's a good thing the Bible says that Jesus Christ hath made us ready. Isn't that right? You're never really ready. I mean, how would you fit in? You aren't going to fit in, and it's going to get tougher. I'm not talking about the prophesying, demon-chasing out, seminar-going Christians. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about just the ones that minister Jesus Christ as Lord. Go ahead and go to work. Okay? I mean, you can fit into these things if you're not into doing these other works. Yeah, and I've been invited to a lot of these society things. They give you 10 minutes. Well, we got Pastor Paul here, and how much time are you going to give me? Listen, I can say a whole lot in 10 minutes. We're going to give him 10 minutes here, you know. Well, how about Gaddafi? Think he'd like to see him come? How about I Totally Insane? How about China? He appeared in the square there. No, I'll tell you what the cry of the nation is. Who is the Lord that we should obey him? The voice of the old king of Egypt still rings out, doesn't it? The Bible says that our carnal self, the carnal man, is at enmity with God. We in the flesh hate God. That's what it says. That's me, that's you, that's everybody in here. That's everybody, every Christian. In the flesh, the carnal man is at enmity. That's why you die daily. Try to get rid of some of that, okay? But anyway, when he was here, he went from village to village, and the Bible says from town to town, and he never once received a welcome. They did not want him. Well, now 2,000 years has passed. Is there anything new under the sun? The Bible says no. Well, yes, there is. There's more unbelief. There's less gospel preaching. There's more people. So there's some new things. There's more people. More disease, less love, more down people. But I have never seen so many down people in my life. Now, we all have down days. How many have down days? I mean, you get a down day, down. Anybody in having a down day today? Well, I tell you, how do you conquer that? Get up. Huh? No, you start preaching Christ crucified and rose again, and people put on a very gloomy face. They don't want to hear that. The Bible says he came to give life and love and joy. And oh, what a sense of humor. I think people think that they have to be pious. How many know that God has got a fantastic sense of humor and would just love to have a good gut buster like everybody? How many in here like to have a good gut buster? Doesn't that relax you? Oh, when you have a good laugh. Huh? Don, we had that good laugh the other day. Wasn't that good? I mean, I was watching this movie. It was an insane thing. And I got to laugh and I thought, boy, I needed a good laugh like that. Good gut buster. Instead of Ghostbusters, they should have gut busters on. Oh, yeah. He came to bless the world. Bible says he was rich and became poor for our sakes. He left heaven for a barn. And the Bible says his cradle, of course, we know was a borrowed one. And the guest chamber where they instituted the supper was also borrowed. Even the donkey that he rode into Jerusalem was a lease model. And the tomb was borrowed. The house he lived in when he grew up, it was a rental. They had to deal with landlords, just like the poor do. You see, he created, we got to understand this, he created the world and everything that walks and crawls and flies in it. And then he comes down and becomes poor for our sakes. He laid all the honor and all the glory aside, and yet the world said, we don't want him. Bible says that one day He had been lifting the standard very high. And many of his disciples left him. And the Bible says, every man went to his own house. That's going to happen again. When you start to lift the standard, when you start to get into dangerous territory, right now challenging the federal government for jobs down here and also the state. And I know what they say, that you can't mix the two, that the church and the state can't mix, but I've never met the fellow that wrote that. But somebody's got to take some chances, don't they? It says that every man went to his own house when he started to lift the standard up. Says, now here's what we're really going to do. 500 disciples, they took off. They slammed their doors shut and they bolted them. And you could hear them latching, click. They locked every door, the Bible says, against him. You remember one time he says that the foxes have holes and the birds have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Was coming true, wasn't it? Well, would we have given him a place if we would have been around? Probably not. Probably not. But you know something? You listening, and you listening here, and you listening on this. If you allow him to come into your heart and dwell in your heart, he'll stay there. That's where he really wants to be. The Bible says that the kingdom of God is within you. One day in this very dark time, this is when many of the disciples had left him. The Bible talks about a woman named Martha. She had him over for dinner. I mean, she did the very unpopular thing. She didn't really know who he was. I mean, she invited the Son of God over. When we receive also Jesus Christ into our hearts, little do we know who he is. It's an easy thing to receive men, but we don't really know who he is. And you know something, folks? He's growing in there all the time. Did you know that? The minute that you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, he's growing in you all the time. Sometimes it doesn't look like Jesus is growing in some people. That's not true. He is the author and the finisher of your faith. I mean, it'll take all eternity to find out who he really is. Anyway, going on with the story sometime later, Martha and Mary, they had a brother named Lazarus, and he falls ill. And they call a physician, and he does all he can. But Lazarus does not recover, and he gets down to 150, 142, and down to 130 pounds. He starts to get that gray sickness look about him. Starts to get that death rattle in his breathing, and Martha says, if only Jesus was here, he would rebuke this disease. And so they send a messenger out to go fetch Jesus back again, and Jesus by then was a long way off. Well, I know he'll come. I know he's going to come, they said, because he loves us. And so the Bible says that the messenger finds him, and then he starts to run back. And Jesus had a few more things to do, and the messenger runs back. When he gets back, of course, Lazarus is dead and buried. Anyway, at the beginning of this, everybody gathers around this messenger. Well, did you find him? Did you find him? They all ask. Yes, he answered. Well, what did he say? Well, he said that the sickness was not unto death and that he'd come to see him. What? Mary says, hey, are you sure you didn't misunderstand him? I mean, did he say that this sickness was not unto death? Well, she says, if he said that, if he were a prophet, he would have known. Elijah would have known. I mean, Lazarus died 1 hour after you left to go get Jesus. How come he didn't know that? Well, anyway, he says, that's what he told me. And he said he'd come to see him. And so the two sisters, they sort of settle down, and the first day goes. Lazarus, he's laying in this tomb over here with a great big old stone rolled up in front of it. Then the second day passes. He's starting to get a little bit stinky. Then the third day, and they're starting to give up a hope here a little bit. Their face starts to slide a little bit. Then it says, on the fourth day, early in the morning, the messenger comes running and says, Jesus is coming. Martha runs out, of course, and she says, if thou hadst been here, my brother would not have died. Well, Jesus says, thy brother shall rise again. Now, little did Martha know that she was talking to God, see. And you know, the world has been sneering at Martha ever since. You listening out here, and if you don't have Jesus in your heart, you listening to these two contraptions here, the radio or tape. Take Jesus into your heart right now. But Jesus said, Martha, your brother shall rise again. Oh, I know, he'll be in heaven, Martha says. I know, you taught us all about the resurrection. Martha, I am the resurrection and the life. I am. You're looking at the resurrection and the life. And now Mary comes out. She says almost the same thing. Too bad you're so late. You could have been here. You could have chased them demons of death away, and he would have been living. Jesus says, where did you lay him? Down here. And they're stumbling and falling and sputtering and crying all the way on down to the tomb, don't you know? Jesus says, roll away that stone. And they're looking at him. And he says, I said, roll away the stone. And then something that happened then is going to happen pretty quick here. Christ then calls with a loud voice to his old friend, Lazarus, come forth! You know, I read that and I thought, you know, it's a good thing that he called him out by his name, or the whole graveyard would have lifted. Oh, there's power when Christ, when life calls the dead unto life. Hey, I mean, if the whole graveyard would have come up, then Mary and Martha and the messenger, they all would have dropped dead. Right? Friends, we're in the end right now. I can't say that enough. And I know, I mean, you know, and sometimes, like I say, I get weary in what I'm doing and all of that, you know, but you have to just, you know, once you take the motion, once you start to do it, isn't that right, Jim? Once you start to do it, you get revived again. The hour is coming when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God and come forth. Anyway, closing this message up, I know you all want to get home and do your thing. I won't do my usual 4-hour and 15-minute message. God knows I preached a lot of them. I'm going to close it up like this. I thought to myself, what a lonesome journey Jesus Christ had. Nobody wanted him. Have you ever had that feeling that nobody wanted you? Huh? How many have had that feeling that nobody wanted you? Little kids get it even. Little kids. Nobody, my mommy don't like me. I'm going to run away from home like that. But you ever had that feeling? Like, nobody wants me around? Isn't that a terrible feeling? When you feel like you're coming unglued? You ever had that feeling like you're coming unglued? I've had that feeling. In fact, when they ask me at these meetings, you mean there's actually people down there that are mentally ill? Come on now, I mean mentally ill? I says, I'm one of them about once or twice a month. So only I got friends and I got the Word of God and so on like that. I says, I got times when I feel like I'm going to come unglued, and sometimes I feel like I'm really glued together, and sometimes I feel like I'm wired. I mean, you know. What a lonesome journey. It's like going to a strange city and you're walking and all these people are around you, but you don't know nobody there. Right? That's lonesome, ain't it? Isn't there a song like that, Old Lonesome Me? You go out there and you look for work and there is no work. How about the homeless that are out there right now? A lot of people say they don't exist. They come in here all the time. Ragamuffins, my mother used to call them. Here comes another ragamuffin. Get a bowl of soup out. Dirty, no ID. Pastor, how do they get like that? Look at that. I mean, come on. How do they get that way? I says, well, they got that way just like you got where you're at, one step at a time. I don't know who's better off or who's worse off. No ID. Scraggly hair, dirty, mentally ill. I mean, no, if you get lonesome and there's nobody out there and there's no friends out there and you start to drift, you can get mentally ill. You start to recluse and pretty soon you're drawing the shades and pretty soon you won't answer the door and pretty soon you're peeking the curtains to see who's there. You see it can't happen? It happens all the time. And people committing suicide like never before. No place to sleep. You stink. Nobody wants you around. Total castaways. The Bible says the poor are despised. I never really knew what that meant until I got down here among men. Well, how about the little children? Parents on drugs. Why have we got a lost generation? Well, who's going to learn when they're on drugs? They're sitting in school and they're drugs. They're passing drugs back and forth and their head is zonked out. They're in another dimension and they're trying to teach them something. Two and two is four and they hear it. Man, was that a trip in there, huh? Boy, I had me a trip in geography. Hey, yeah. Oh, we're in trouble. Trouble right down here in River City. We're in trouble. Nothing to eat. No Christmas presents. Yesterday, praise God, a woman came. We were doing a giveaway up there. And she came in, another guy came in, and I had these toys, and hey, they were expensive. They had the wind-up toy, or the batteries, I guess. They don't have wind-ups, and now everything is batteries. I think the battery companies invent them things. Anyway, you put these batteries in there, and the arms and the legs and everything move on these. They're the cutest things. They were about this big. Bags of them. Had the front and the back seat loaded to go up and give these gifts. People were just running over there. Oh, can I have one of them? Give me the Barbie doll. Give me this. Give it. Little gal came in here the other day. Don was in here. She had been in here about a month before, and I had two bicycles. I had a mountain bike. I think they cost about like $450, $500 a piece. Then there was another European racing bike. Got them from Skip Humphrey. I don't think he ever rode them. Almost told him, you better start riding that, you know. You and Mom. I didn't. I wanted the bikes. But they were nice. The 15-speed thing and all that, you know. And I said, you bring your kids around Christmas time, I'll give you these bikes. So she was so anxious a couple days ago, she came in. I says, no, the kids got to be with. So the other day, I came in through the back door, and a woman was here, and she had the two kids here, and they were like probably 12 and 13 years old, boy and a girl. And they had the boy's bike and a girl's bike. And so they were all kind of nervous and waiting, you know, and I says, come on, I got something for you guys. I got upstairs to where those bikes were, and their eyeballs were about that big. I mean, a bike like that on the north side, I mean, you know, you better double chain that thing. Hey. They were so happy. They were so happy. These little kids, they were, now these are kids that, I don't think they're used to have a lot of affection. But boy, I went up and I kissed the little girl and I couldn't get her off of me. It was like, you know, please release me, let me know. I won't give you a bike no more. But and then the little guy was the same way, and the mother was the same way, and there was a little boy, and I was up on the top step, and we're getting these bikes down. He says, can I take it? No, I'll take it down. They want to take them down themselves, down these steps. There's a little boy. He was only about 2.5 or 3 years old. He was standing there like this, you know. He didn't say anything. He just kind of looked around like, you know, what am I, chop liver, you know? And so he was looking up at me, you know, and I pulled out my billfold, and I just happened to have some ones in there. So, you know, Mr. Big Shot. One, two, three, and his eyes are getting bigger all the time. He looks at his mom, he looks at the kids. Every dollar, you know, it was just, his eyes got bigger. So he had a great big mitten. I think it belonged to the Jolly Green Giant. It sure didn't belong to him, but he was wearing them. His great big mitten, you know, and he stuffed that money in the mitten. His mom says, honey, I'll take care of that for you. He says, nope. Well, the Bible says, forsake not the little children, for such belongs the kingdom of heaven. I was sitting in here and I was listening to you guys today when you started to sing up here, and I seen the kids are all here today and everything, you know, and I thought, God, I ain't going to be able to minister today. I'm going to start bawling while I'm up there. You know what I mean? And I'm so full this Christmas on account of what happened. Well, today, and not only today, but I'm so full today on what happened with the little kids around the neighborhood and all that, you know, and just what a wonderful thing God has done and used us down here. I just got so full this Christmas. I, you know, just about constantly on the verge of tears. You know, you ever been on the verge of tears? You know, when you don't want to cry and you got your eyes are rimmed up like this and you don't want to blink them so they come down? Anyway, you listening here and there and on the tape or radio, I'm going to ask you a question. Is there room for Jesus in your end today? That's the question. Well, there might be you listening out there and on the tape out there. There might be room for pleasure and lust and jealousy and slander and room for the world and room for everything but Jesus. But friends, Jesus already made a room for himself in your heart. It's already there. Before the foundation of the world was even founded, he made a spot right there. If you listening, you hear him knocking on your door. There's no handle on the outside of the door. You ever seen that picture? There's no handle. There's a knock, but there's no handle on it. The handle's on the inside. You look at that picture real close. There's no handle on the outside. The handle's on the inside when he knocks. I remember 17 years ago when Christ knocked on my heart. I was a mess. And he knocked on my heart, and I let him in. And I ain't going to say it's been a bed of roses. But I let him in. You hear him knocking on your heart today. Make room for Jesus in your heart. If there's anybody in here today that doesn't have Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, it takes 30 seconds to do it. 30 seconds. The Bible says if you'll confess your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ is Lord, thou wilt be saved. Because when you make that confession, it says the word is near you, in your heart that we preach. It's in your heart and in your mouth, the word we preach, the Bible says. God already put it in your mouth and God already put it in your heart. You can't take nothing. It's like Laddie, when you learn how to say dad-da. You know, and then your dad kept saying, or any of you in here, and he said, no, say dad-da. Say dad-da. Say mama. And then all of a sudden, he says, Dada. That word was in there. And he puts it in there. If you just say it, you will be born again. Is there anyone in here today that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior? So that if you died tonight, you'd know where you're going. If a semi-truck ran up on you, right, Laddie? Right? Okay, let me be bold. Is there anyone in here? Laddie, will you pray with me? Just pray after me. Say, Dear Lord Jesus.
Dear Lord Jesus.
I'm a sinner.
I'm a sinner.
Come into my heart.
Come into my heart.
And save me.
And save me.
Amen.
Amen.
Bless you. She's a doll, isn't she? Anyone else? 30 seconds. I can do it in 29. I'm getting better. Okay, who's going to sing today? Laddie and Steve, were you going to...